Hi, everyone. Welcome to Life with Pastor Bob. I'm your host, Robert Bernier. I'm the pastor of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth, Massachusetts, and we're here to bring life to your life. I want to bring God closer to you and hopefully you closer to God. That's our goal as a church, to reach out to you in the community. I hope you had a great New Year's. I hope that they were filled with great times. I was overcoming a little bit of a cold and a cough, and I'll tell you that I appreciate drugstores now, all of the things that are in them. I'm ready to buy the store when you're not feeling well. Headache medicine, cold medicine, everything from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. I was getting special shampoo for an itch. Nothing serious. It's just I think I had a reaction to some shampoo. Boy, I'll tell you, I want you to be healthy. I want you to have a healthy and prosperous New Year. And let's just get started. I want to tell you that this show is sponsored by the family and friends of Christian Life Church in Rehoboth. If you at any time want to reach us, we are at www. You can email us from that website, www.clcrehoboth.com. Our church is located at 222 Plain Street in Rehoboth, and it's not hard to find our church. There's probably a church within stone's throw of you, but our church is about 3 miles north of the Swansea Mall, and I tell people if you can go to the mall, you can come to our church. I want to also mention that you are listening to me on radio, WSAR, 1480 AM, and you can also listen to us online at www.wsar.com, which I have done, and it was a lot of fun. I sat on my couch and listened with my daughter one day, and other than the fact that I was asking her if that was really the man, have you ever listened to your own voice? I really didn't think it was my own voice coming out over the computer, but she thought I did a good job. So I'm glad at least that she and my mother listened to this broadcast. But if you're listening to this broadcast and you want to send us a note of encouragement, I'd be happy to receive it. You can email me again at the email address I just gave you, which I'll mention again before the end of this broadcast. And you can also get in touch with us through this radio station. Today I want to talk to you about what the church is. And, you know, every time that I come out to record this broadcast, I say a little prayer. I say, okay, God, you know, you've been working in my life for many years. What do you want to say? And I'm not saying that everything I'm going to say comes directly from the Lord, but usually I'll get a little topic in my head that won't go away. And I use that as that at the springboard for which I prepare this little 20-25 minutes of conversation with you. Today I want to ask you, what do you think the church is? What is the church? I'm the pastor of a church. It's not a big church. It's a modest-sized church. There are small churches in America. There are little house churches in America. There are great, great mega churches in America. There are churches in the world that number in the thousands. When I say thousands, I'm talking upwards of 500,000 attending on one day. So what is the church? I'm going to identify three different things that we can identify as the church. You know, I remember an interview by some people. They were in an inner city. They were interviewing some kids, and they said, have you ever gone to church? They said, yeah, for a wedding or a funeral. But they had no idea really what a church was. And for some people, the first definition of a church is the building. We identify when we say church. We'll say, oh, look at the nice church on the hill or the church in the corner. I came in today and I saw a nice, I went to a store and I saw a nice calendar, snowy fields, little river, little tiny houses, hills, and this beautiful little white church with a steeple popping up into this beautiful blue sky. Very, very beautiful, typical New England village scene. Well, for many people, the church is the building, and it's a place that's been set aside usually for worship or assembly. When some other people think of it as an organization, but basically the church or the building is a place to gather people. In some countries, some churches have no permanent facilities. They meet wherever they can. They'll meet in the field. They'll make a clearing. They might put up a hut somewhere, open air structure to just get out of the shade. I've seen some countries that put up some poles, create a little tent-like structure with some fabric to take some of the sun away, and that's the church. They can pull it down and gather it again together next week. Here in America, we have big stone cathedrals, and we have really modest colonial meeting halls. Some meet in rented facilities, leased facilities, borrowed facilities. We see some right here in our region. We'll see storefront-type churches, all types of churches. One of my Canadian ancestors, his house served as one of the first meeting places for a church in the 1600s in Canada. But all of those spaces are merely buildings. The earliest known church that we know of is a place in Dura Europus. It's in Syria. And it's a little house that was uncovered. And by the floor plan, they know that it was a home that was a typical home footprint that had a courtyard surrounded by rooms. And so the open-air central court, you'd come into this court, then there was a series of rooms all around it. And then some of these rooms were then converted for assembly, for worship. Another room was used for teaching, and another room was converted for a place where baptisms could occur. And so that old building there in Syria dates way back to the 300s. It's the earliest known place of a church. We know from biblical references that most churches met in houses, and they met from house to house, and they met in public spaces. They met in temple courts. They met wherever they needed to meet. And we think of these church buildings as owned by a group, but sometimes they were owned by a homeowner. They might have been owned by the pastor, or it might have been that the church just met at the pastor's house. It's just the way it worked. I read a story when I was researching some local congregations a few years back that there was a small church that petitioned their organizational church for a new church in a new geographical area simply because they had to ford a stream. They had to ford a river. They went to church wet, and they came back wet. But I can just imagine the winter. It was kind of cold, especially flood season. Come in all soaking wet to church, and finally it was granted them by their parent organization to plant and to pioneer a brand new church in a new geographical area. When we go into some of the rural country roads here in New England, we sometimes come across this cute little church in the middle of what we would consider nowhere, but maybe years ago it was a thriving farming community, and it was certainly a central spot for believers of that day. One of the things that we can do with the building is we can make it a place of special importance. We can dress it up. We can put gold and silver on it. We can fill it with candles. We can put nice windows in it. And for some people, we can make that place a more special place. That's not good English, but if it's a special place to them, it becomes a better experience. But I don't think that's what the real church is. I think that I've seen, just in our area, I've seen churches close. I've seen some demolished. I've seen some others built up. You know, in the end, the building itself is not the church. They can be a beautiful testament to the community, to the parish who built it, to the people who sacrificed to pay for it, to the artisans who crafted whatever goes into a church, but even the simplest of church takes work. I know some pastors that pastor little tiny congregations. It takes all of their muscle and grit to paint a few walls and put some carpeting in and get a sound system. And others have sacrificed many years of extra cash in order to raise a great edifice. But throughout this region, if you were to do a history of our region, you would have to confront the history of the church and church building and where these things came from, churches, schools, hospitals in our area. A great deal about our history and our culture revolves around what the church has done and what the church can do. And usually the centerpiece of that community might have been the church building. But buildings can be vacated. In the end, they are only brick and mortar. and wood and plaster. Churches can be marked by their buildings, but only as long as they are occupied by people of faith. The second definition of a church is the organization. And you know, by nature, the church has to be organized. It could be clumsy organization. It can be a very sort of an organic organizational system, or it could be a highly organized system. And the reason why you organize is so that the church can have mutually beneficial results. It's a place to belong. You know, a few years ago, I joined a fishing club. And it's quite a few years ago, Jennifer, don't look so surprised. Well, the reason why I joined is very simple. First of all, you meet other guys who like to fish. You then get to go in their boats, which were better than my rubber boots. And you get to go places that you wouldn't know existed. They take you to their favorite fishing places, and then you fish a little bit, you talk a little bit, you get to know each other. Next thing you know, you find out what they use for bait, and they learn some techniques that you might have. And next thing you know, you're going to the fishing store and buying more stuff. Either way, it's going to cost you a little bit of money. But there's dues and all of those kinds of things. But the reason why you join is because people like to belong. And, you know, every church is a place to belong. And, I think that most people expect churches to be organized, and it should be organized for social purposes, for legal purposes. And churches can organize for works of charity and do great works of justice, social justice. You know, Paul the Apostle described the church as the pillar and ground of truth. And so if you were to just take that one idea of truth, how the church has a responsibility to instill what real truth is in people that they pastor. And so we think that those are sort of good values, don't we? So, like I said, most churches organize according to their faith, but they almost immediately need to organize their social structure as well. You need some sort of organization, but the church is not merely an organization. You know, every church has bylaws. They may have some rules, some regulations, but you need some structure. The early church had to get organized when they started having success, and there were a lot of people that needed to be fed, and their primary goal was taking care of widows, orphans in their distress. And as the church started to meet the needs of the people in the region, they started to need new leaders to arise to help organize those efforts. And every church is a place of organization. But the third definition of a church is what I call, it's actually a very simple thing. It's the people of faith. It's people who have been called out, maybe called out of their homes, to worship or to hear the news. You know, Jesus used the word church twice in the Bible. And both times in the scriptures that we use, they were Greek words that were very familiar to the people who were listening. And they meant a public assembly. And in the two references, one, he talked about an individual who is going to be key to that growth of that church. But he started talking about a rock. He started talking about a rock of faith. And he told Peter, his first apostle there, he said, listen, on this house, on this rock, I shall build my church. What was he talking about? He was talking about faith. So the first place that we begin to build a church is the individual. Paul called his faithful followers, he called them temples of the Holy Spirit. He said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You, your body, your spirit, you're able to contain the Spirit of God. So think of yourself, if you're a believer, think of yourself as a mini chapel. You are a place where God himself can dwell. And as I continue that idea of what a church is, the next idea of that little unit is the congregation. Two or three gathered together to form the basis of a church. That's the congregation. It's the assembly. And, you know, let me just give you a couple of other definitions. In every church, there's a believer. Hopefully, there's several believers, more than one. they form the church. But let's say they bring a friend. Well, they form the crowd. That's not everyone is a believer. And so think about this. I could be preaching to a whole group of people right now. I'm preaching to the community. And I might gather a crowd, but within that crowd, there are believers. And those believers are the church. The Bible says that God doesn't dwell in temples made with man's hands. What does that mean? God is perfectly fine with living in a dirt tent, a rusted out shell of a building. He's perfectly content in a big stone cathedral with no ornamentation, or somebody's house where two or three people have gathered together to worship him. Jesus defined it this way. He said, wherever two or more gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, when I traveled to Guatemala, I went to this one church where it was a very simple, you know, tin-roofed type of structure. It was a multi-language church. It was English and Spanish, and there was no foyer. You walked in off the street, you were in the church. And as I sat in the church, I mean, they had tile floor. They had some type of windows on one wall, and they were these kind of, you know, jalousie windows, the windows that tip open. They're glass things. You kind of crank them and they open up. Those were open, and I could hear the birds chirping, and birds could fly in and they could fly out. And as I was looking out, I mean, I was trying to concentrate on the service itself, but, you know, outside I could see unwashed dishes in a little dishpan pot outside, and I found out that the missionary who pastored this church kind of lived adjoining to the church, and that was a little garden courtyard. It was beautiful. It had little flowers and things in it, and the dirty dishes were outside. And I could tell you that that building was just as capable of containing the presence of God as the finest cathedrals in our nation or in the world. God is not contained to the buildings. God infills the hearts of people. So my definition of a church is a gathering of people who have been publicly called forward to hear the good news. You know, in the day of Jesus, back in those days in the Greek culture, a church was an ecclesia, I can't say the word properly in Greek, ecclesia, where a herald would come into town, stand up on a rock or something, and he would yell out to the town, and he would call people out, and he would tell them the news. And this was part of the culture. It happened in synagogues, it happened throughout the region, but it's interesting that Jesus used the word ecclesia. He said, listen, you are my people who have been called out to worship. You know, I heard a statistic recently that 40% of Americans filling out, this is a Gallup poll, 40% or so attend church regularly. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But that's a high percentage. Those are just the ones that attend regularly. It's double that, or nearly double that, that say they belong to a church. So the audience at the time, when the word church was first used, they understood what it meant. It meant to come out and hear the good news. The only thing that we have maybe similar to it today would be maybe a town meeting where people are called out to hear a certain issue on a topic. Well, if someone came to town back then, you would go out to hear what they had to say. It had everything to do with the assembled. It happened right in the open, right in a town square. It might have continued in a school. The conversations might have continued in a public courthouse or local judgment seats, wherever there were places to gather, the conversation continued. You could even meet in the local basilicas of the day. So here's what it means. It means anytime two or more are gathered, in essence, you've got a church. You could say the new the new thing today is the social media. That could be a place to gather. And in fact, there are some churches that are creating online churches, places where you can get information. You can get all sorts of, you can be inspired, I suppose. But Paul described the church as a body made up of many parts. Eye, hand, ear. One part sees, the other part hears, the other part does. One needs one part in order to do the other part. I can tell you, this past week, I had a little pain in my foot. The rest of me was miserable. When my nose is clogged, the rest of me is miserable. I can't do certain things. I don't want to go out certain places if I'm coughing. And so my whole body gets controlled by the problem in one little area. Well, the church is made up of many members, and it's the same thing. So I mentioned this Gallup poll. Here's what statisticians discovered, that on any given weekend, 40% of the people said that they attend a service. But there is something that others have challenged, and they said they call it a halo effect. When people answer polls, they want you to think they're better than what they are. So they'll ask you the question, do you go to church regularly? Oh, yes. But for some people, regularly means Christmas, New Year's, and when someone dies or gets married. For other people, it means every week. I was the type of guy that was taught from my childhood, unless you're sick, that's the only reason why you stay home. If you can get to church, you go to church. And so some other people have said that it might be as low as 20% actually go to church regularly because of that halo effect. But Gallup stays by its measures, and they say, no, they say that 40% of us go to church regularly. Well, I want to encourage you to go to church, because there you'll find a community. There you should hear good news, and there you can grow and become better at what you do. The average church on any given weekend could double simply if everybody just went to church and brought somebody. Think about that. Don't let the pollsters tell you what church is. I did a recent poll myself. Recently we had a storm forecast, and the next day it only turned out to be rain, and 45% of our church stayed home. And so look, it's probably accurate. People stay home for all sorts of reasons, but going to the building is not being the church. Being the church is what we talk about. How can I be the church? I am the church when I have been affected by God. I've become a person of faith. I've received Christ into my heart, and I decide to join with others to express that faith, and I bring my gift to the church. You know what? I wouldn't even say you have to go to church. You have to be perfect to go to church. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in England, was best known in the second half of the 19th century. He said, the day that we find the perfect church, it will become imperfect the moment we join it. And so listen, there is no perfect church, but there is a perfect one that we worship, and that's why we go to church. Going to church means going with the assembled to hear good news. So listen, my goal is very simple, to bring God closer to you. I'm a portable chapel, but you know what? I work best when I'm connected with other people. For some people, maybe church is just a tradition, but you know what? It's more than that. It's more than a building. It's more than just an organization. Church is more than a community. Church is more than social activism and the social works that and kind works that it does. Church is about our singular faith in one God, in one hope, and joined together as members of one body. Hey, listen, I thank you so much. You've been listening to Life with Pastor Bob. I'm Robert Bernier. I'm the pastor of Christian Life Church. If you don't have a church, we invite you to come out and worship with us every Sunday at 9:30 at 222 Plain Street in Rehoboth. But you know what? I have a lot of friends in this area. There are a lot of great churches in this area, a lot of places where the Word of God is proclaimed, where there are some great people who are there to welcome you, fellowship with you, and to make you a part of their community. We just think that community is an important part of our church experience. And so, listen, if you want to get a hold of us, go to our website, www.clcrehoboth.com. You'll be able to get in touch with us there. and send us an email or just read about us. But I just encourage you to become part of a local church where you are and be part of a solution, not part of a problem. Hey, listen, God bless you. God bless your new year. Until we meet again, goodbye.